Radio 91.3 KDKR Decatur, Dallas, Fort Worth, and 91.3 KYJC Commerce.
Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Well, our financial advisor is required to do the right thing. Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, if you got a question for me, I've got an answer for you. Just go to prudentmoney.com. There's a couple of ways to get information. The first way is through the Ask Bob or just through the email system, and most questions can be answered that way, and it's pretty easy to do. However, there are situations that have a lot of moving parts, a lot of things to discuss, so we do offer a scenario where you can go and my online calendar just for phone calls is sitting at prudentmoney.com. Just go select a time that works for you, and we'll get that booked, a small allotment of time, but it gives us the opportunity to talk through your situation and help you come to a good resolution. That's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com, and there's never any cost for that, and there's never any obligation. So that's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. Let's talk a little bit about financial advisors and marketing claims, and look at the question. And I know this sounds a little crazy, but just bear with me on this, and I'll get to the meaning behind all this. Are financial advisors obligated to act in the best interest of their clients? Fair question, right? Are financial advisors obligated to act in the best interest of their clients? Now, you know, I would argue yes, and it's kind of some of these things are, you would think common sense would say that's kind of a no-brainer that they would put your best interest first. And unfortunately, just like in any business, and I always want to stress that, there's the group of bad actors. And so the challenge, though, with financial advisors is that you are depending upon a recommendation that's not only in your best interest, it's also a recommendation that is for the long term. Why that's important is that you don't want to get too far into the long term and you realize that, wow, they just sold me a bill of goods. And I see this all of the time. I see, and you know, some of this is going to be just different ways of going about things, different beliefs, different strategies. You know, there's very few that are going to look like mine, and I'm not going to look like their strategy, so they'll disagree with it. But the bottom line is, will that strategy help you achieve your long-term goals? And that's the answer that you got to get to at any point along the journey between point A and point B being retirement. So if you get to a point where you have lost confidence in the ability, then it means you got to go back to the drawing board. You got to go back to having the meetings, interviewing. We talked about this yesterday. Interviewing the financial advisors to find that one again. So it's important to be able to answer the question, are they obligated to act in the best interest of their clients? We're also going to talk about some other claims that are made by looking at an advisor that does a lot of marketing, but his marketing's not too different from other advisors' marketing. These are kind of some of the things that you hear, so it makes sense to go over it. Let's talk a little bit about, we make more money when our clients make more money. That is an absolute true statement, but that really applies across the board to any financial advisor that any financial advisor that charges fees against the money that they're managing for the client. So yeah, the account goes up, then the amount of money that you charge a fee against goes up, and everybody makes more money. I like that model for a lot of reasons, but I definitely like the model because it's in the best interest to make this work for everybody, which is a good thing. So that's pretty much standard across the board. The next one is the claim that unlike some money managers that sell cookie-cutter portfolios and off-the-shelf products, we tailor client portfolios to individual goals and needs. Now, I don't, cookie-cutter portfolios, there's advisors who do that. I don't know what's their definition of cookie-cutter portfolios. I think that most advisors have different models based on different objectives. And then they take that model as a starting place and customize that towards the individual's goals and needs. What's interesting to me, though, is that this particular claim made by a pretty well-known advisor leaves out one very important word that you and I talk about all the time and is part of what I think is, when we're talking stewardship, very important, and that is risk. Shouldn't that say we tailor client portfolios to individual goals and needs, and most importantly, risk? Then we get down to the fiduciary standard. Put your client ahead of yourself is another way of saying that. That's what a fiduciary does. A fiduciary takes the time to look at all the various options and figure out, minus fees, minus the advisor would get paid, and takes a look at, is what I'm recommending, is that putting this client ahead of my own needs, desires, wants, whatever you want to put in there? And the bottom line is that, you know, they're going to be paying those fees to the new advisor. Are they bringing something to the table that is more than just a parallel move? And that's the question. And that's something that I think we see a lot of, is parallel moves. Now, you know, are there things that could be an advantage, like this particular financial advisor's got a great staff, a great sense of organization, and that's going to benefit the client? Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things you can look at, but a parallel move was not intended to fit with the description of the fiduciary standard. Misrepresentation of investments. This is a big one. And this is when an advisor gives kind of a misrepresentation of how things work, that definitely is putting their desires and their desires to make the commission, sell the product, or however it's set up, ahead of the client. And you know what's interesting is that I think, although there are I think the fiduciary standard from a fee standpoint, and that's all that I've known. From a fee standpoint, which is being a registered investment advisor, registered investment advisors have been under the fiduciary standard since the beginning of time. I'm exaggerating a little bit, obviously, but it's been for a long time. I know that ever since I became one, that I was under the fiduciary standard. What they're trying to rein in, the regulators are really trying to rein in, is commission products, where there are lots of different types of commission products, different rates of commissions, and making sure that the client is getting the better deal than the advisor getting paid on that particular deal. That, to me, is more complicated than basically looking at, okay, if you move your money on from the standpoint of a management fee being charged against the investments, and the new financial advisor is in charge of bringing value to show you that that move was in your best interest, that's a little bit easier to prove and to look at. But I think that even that probably has more complications to it than the search between commissionable products. So my point, where I'm going with this, is the fiduciary standard, I believe, the original standard that came out of the came from regulators. And from what I understand as well, is that it's not all set in stone quite yet. But anyway, it would seem to me that we're talking about a 10, 15, 20 page document that can outline and make companies pay across the board the same commission for each product. I mean, there's so many easy ways that can prevent, that takes out the conflict of interest. But the document is literally 1,000-plus pages. From what I understand, I've never seen it. But 1,000-plus pages, what could be in... I've got to take a look at that. I'm sure it's all in legalese and somewhat difficult to read and maneuver through. But we'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side of the break. This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, go to the website, www.prudentmoney.com, and send it in, and I will get you an answer to your question. That's off the website, prudentmoney.com. This is Bob Brooks. Stick around. We will be right back. Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse, word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
In every situation where we need courage, we need Christ. In every situation where we face trouble, we need the Savior. And here's the good news. In every situation that you read about in the Bible where problems present themselves, Almighty God presents Himself in the midst of it.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Courage to Conquer, next time on Turning Point.
Weekday mornings at 9 o'clock here on KDKR.
This is Rob Randall, your host and teacher of the Invisible War radio program. The Invisible War is the study of God's Word on how to walk in Christ's victory in the spiritual battles we face against the powers of darkness. Join me every Sunday morning at 9, right here on KDKR and KYJC in Commerce, your station for life.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. If you got a question for me, go to the website, www.prudentmoney.com. And if you miss any of the program, we podcast on a daily basis the program right after it's over with. You can always go to the podcast platform that you listen to your podcasts on, and we'll probably be there. And you can listen to it at your leisure. So all that is at prudentmoney.com and your favorite podcast platform. So, yes, there is a fiduciary standard that the advisor has to recommend and perform as an advisor under. Now, do you think, though, that that can be a marketing claim or a benefit when they should be doing that to begin with, right? So in this commercial, it says, we operate under the fiduciary standard, which means we put your needs and your goals above our own. I guess I just don't understand why you got to say that. I mean, it should be kind of an assumption. It's just like the situation where the person says, I'm being honest with you, honestly. I mean, isn't that kind of assumed? Anyway, just kind of one of those things. Then there are annuities. And really, the amount of annuities that are being sold today, and it is an unbelievable amount of annuities that are being sold. That's where there is a lot of conflict of interest. And really, to me, where the problem is, I don't think that, or it's interesting, if you go back three or four years, I believe that's about when they first started talking about, the regulators started talking about the fiduciary standard, the knee-jerk reaction by your big brokerage houses, who typically have advisors who sell by commission, was that we need to change the way everything looks and feels, and now it's not such an easy situation for somebody to start out in the business as a brand new financial advisor, because they've kind of taken away the commission aspect of it. And then what we saw, and we're still seeing this today, is, and I think it's very, very unfortunate, is that we're seeing a scenario where advisors and where brokerage companies are saying, you know, we're not going to take anybody who has less than, say, $300,000, $500,000, whatever. And what it ends up happening is that it creates a void in the vast majority of America. The people who need help the most are underneath those asset levels. And for most people, if that's taken away by brokerage companies, then in fact, these accounts just kind of get shoved off to the side now, as, you know, you can go figure it out. Or they set you up with a robo-advisor. And you know how I feel about robo-advisors. Just real quick on that. The robo-advisor is just going to... I get AI is really an unbelievable technology and can do a lot of things. I think that there is a art and a feel to determining risk factors and risk and goals and that type of thing, that maybe a robo advisor can't necessarily do, but that's just an opinion. But that's there. I think I'd want somebody that was had a heart that was beating and was alive, versus that technology. But, you know, some people like the robo advisor, but that's what's happening, is this shift. And what's even going to get worse down the road is that many advisors are going to be retiring at some point in the next 10 years. And if you have a lot of advisors going out and retiring, and you've got a few advisors coming in the front door, you've got a real problem as far as the advisor industry and having the ability to take care of as many people as possible. But this is why we offer two different ways to get information to you on questions and resources, because we want you to get your questions answered. We without question want to make sure that we are there for you as Prudent Money. So if you ever need questions answered, you can always go to the website. You know the drill, www.prudentmoney.com. There's something else that's happening within the annuity space that you've got to be aware of, and it's a situation where your advisor is going to recommend that you take on a new annuity product replacing an annuity product that has surrender charges. So in other words, you got this greater annuity with bigger benefits, and in order to move the money from the one that's in a surrender charge, you'll have to pay that surrender charge, or you'll get that deducted on when they move the product. The good and the bad is that we happen to be in an environment where that makes sense on so many levels. But then again, there's a lot of situations where it doesn't make sense. You can't just assume that they all make sense because of annuities that have been in force for a long time, and they're kind of running off an old set of formulas and models that just aren't keeping up with what annuities can offer today. So it definitely does make sense to take a look and determine if it makes sense to switch from one annuity to another. Just got to make sure that you see the value in that and that it does make sense. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. I had a question come in I wanted to cover here at the last part of the program. Question that came in about the different types of consumer loans that are available and what you should be looking for and what you should be careful about. What I found, when I get a question like this, I like to go out and kind of see what's being written these days and what reviews and articles that I come across. And what I found is that pop culture finance just kind of overcomplicates all this in a very big way. So let me talk about it on a global standpoint. If you have debt that is at a reasonably priced, so in other words, you have maybe a 10 or 11, or even would be phenomenal if you had a 9% interest rate, then you really probably don't need to move that money because you're not going to find anything better than that. And I wouldn't say going to a 0% that changes to a way higher interest rate is a good alternative as well. So keep in mind that you probably don't have the opportunity to move that money. The second thing would be, if you do have the ability to move the money, to refinance it or to consolidate some debts or whatever, there's two or three things that definitely need to be in play and be a part of the recommendation. Number one, a term period for you so that you know at what date in particular you'll pay off that debt. So if it's going to pay off in 5 years, you know that in 5 years you'll pay off you'll make a monthly payment, and it will get you completely out of debt. That you've got to have that. Anything else is not acceptable. Make sure you understand. You hear me on this. If you don't have a term period, you're going off into a situation that you're probably not going to like. So having a term period, very important. Having a locked in interest rate, very important. So globally speaking, you can go, and there's not that many choices out there. Unfortunately, there is the personal loans, like LendingTree is an example of one. I'm drawing a blank, but there's several big companies that if you go and you apply, you can get a personal loan that consolidates a lot of your debt. The problem is the interest rate's probably going to be high, and they talk about that up front. In fact, what's nice is they can do what's called a soft check on your credit without having a credit check appear. And they can tell you what they can do for you before they confirm that your credit is what it says it is. So that's a good thing. Anything else falls under the credit solutions business, which I write about in my book, Deceptive Money. And you want to be extremely careful about how that works, because I would suggest that's going to get you into a much bigger mess. I write about this in my book extensively, than trying to find the traditional sources or getting out of your debt without any of these particular situations. What amazes me is that you can go on CNBC.com, which should be a credible website to lead you towards resources, and they're filled with these debt settlement companies, which just really, and solution companies, which really bothers me, because people look at it and say, well, if CNBC's covering it, it must be something good. Far from it. Well, we're going to jump into the middle of that next week and talk a little bit about that, so you'll know what to look for. As for today, if you have a question for me, please go to the website. You know the drill, prudentmoney.com, and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.